Isn't it beautiful? His voice trembled a little. She smiled at him with an expression of the most sympathetic understanding. Simply perfect for Obstacle Gulf, she answered rapturously. And now I must fly, Bernard. Henry gets cross if I keep him waiting. Let me know in good time about the date. And waving a hand, she ran away across the wide, flat roof towards the hangars. Bernard stood watching the retreating twinkle of the white stockings, the sunburnt knees vivaciously bending and unbending, again, again, and the softer rolling of those well-fitted corduroy shorts beneath the bottle-green jacket. His face wore an expression of pain.
"I should say she was pretty," said a loud and cheery voice just behind him.
Bernard started and looked round. The chubby red face of Benito Hoover was beaming down at him, beaming with manifest cordiality. Benito was notoriously good-natured. People said of him that he could have got through life without ever touching soma. The malice and bad tempers from which other people had to take holidays never afflicted him. Reality for Benito was always sunny.
"Pneumatic, too, and how!"
Then, in another tone,
"But I say," he went on, "you do look glum. What you need is a gram of soma."
Diving into his right-hand trouser pocket, Benito produced a file.
"One cubic centimeter cures 10 gloomy..."
"But I say..." Bernard had suddenly turned and rushed away. Benito stared after him.
"What can be the matter with the fellow?" he wondered,
and, shaking his head, decided that the story about the alcohol having been put into the poor chap's blood surrogate must be true.
"Touched his brain, I suppose."
He put away the soma bottle, and taking out a packet of sex hormone chewing gum, stuffed a plug into his cheek, and walked slowly away towards the hangars, ruminating. Henry Foster had had his machine wheeled out of its lockup and, when Lenina arrived, was already seated in the cockpit, waiting. 4 minutes late, was all his comment, as she climbed in beside him. He started the engines and threw the helicopter screws into gear. The machine shot vertically into the air. Henry accelerated. The humming of the propeller shrilled from hornet to wasp, from wasp to mosquito. The speedometer showed that they were rising at the best part of 2 kilometers a minute. London diminished beneath them. The huge tabletop buildings were no more in a few seconds than a bed of geometrical mushrooms sprouting from the green of a park and garden. In the midst of them, thin-stalked, a taller, slenderer fungus, the Charing T Tower lifted towards the sky a disk of shining concrete. Like the vague torsos of fabulous athletes, huge fleshy clouds lolled on the blue air above their heads. Out of one of them suddenly dropped a small scarlet insect, buzzing as it fell.
"There's the Red Rocket," said Henry, "just come in from New York."
Looking at his watch,
7 minutes behind time,"
he added and shook his head. "These Atlantic services, they're really scandalously unpunctual."